Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining for Messages from the Midrash for Parshat Va'era. I want to thank Dr. Gloria Rappaport once again for her continued sponsorship of the Shiurim. As we did last week, I want to acknowledge the yahrzeits that we have in our shul this week. Leib Shrav Vogel, Mordechai Tzvi ben Arya Leib Halevi, Lisa's Bat Tzvi HaKohen, Yaakov ben Shlomo, Frida Bas Harav Gadol, and Aaron ben Yaakov Meir. The Neshamos should have an aliyah, and our learning that we're doing as a shul community should give a merit to the Neshamos of those who are connected with our community. This week in Parshas Va'era, so we have a theme in these Midrashim that we'll be looking at in terms of the relationship that Moshe has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One that on the one hand has some bumps, especially at the beginning, although not exclusively at the beginning of their relationship, but one that has a little bit of bumps. But at the same time, there's obviously a very unique relationship. And we'll see the extent to which Hashem was Machshiv Moshe, the way Hashem really believed in and gave a status of importance to Moshe, despite some of the difficulties that are encountered. So, begin with this, the very first midrash in our parsha, in Tanchuma. Vayaber Elokim el Moshe, vayomer elav ani Hashem. So, Hashem. Well, I shouldn't say Hashem, it should be specific. Elohim, Midas Hadin, the attribute of justice, that aspect of God. So God spoke to Moshe, Vayomer Elav, and he says to him, Ani Hashem, I am God. So the Midrash opens with its famous Ilam Adeinu Rabbeinu. May our master teach us. Ma'u Shiikra Adam et Hashem be'ot yotav. Is it appropriate for a person to speak to Hashem of Hashem using the tetragrammaton, the four-letter divine name? As the translation sort of implies here, perhaps there's a punishment here. So, Kachshan Rabotenu, there's a bright that teaches us, Elu she'ein lahan chalek l'olam haba. These are people who don't have a share in the world to come. This is brought in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah as well. Somebody who denies the concept of resurrection in the Torah, and the Torah is not derived from heaven, Bapikoris, heretic. And somebody who's using a magical means towards healing and using and saying this verse that Hashem heals, but also using sort of a magical form of doing so. So these individuals don't have olam haba. And then Abba Shol Omer, Afahok yes Hashem b'yosav. Somebody who pronounces Hashem's name as it is written, the yud kei vav kei. Somebody who says that in the context it's not appropriate. Such a person does not get olam haba. Right, so connection here we have is through Ani Hashem, that Hashem identifies himself by his name, but it's not for a human being to use that name. So the Midrash comes and says, look how serious it is, the concept of Chilul Hashem, desecrating Hashem's name. So I think this is building off what was said before, that using Hashem's name in a profane manner is a Chilul Hashem. But it's worth noting that there's two ways we can conceive of there being Chilul Hashem. Sometimes there's a Chilul Hashem klapei chutz, meaning that there's a Chilul Hashem that when it comes to perhaps non-Jews or people who aren't religious, so if I act in a way that's not becoming of a person who believes in God and somebody who's a Ben Torah, somebody who keeps the Torah in terms of ethics and character and the like, so we often refer to that being a Chilul Hashem. But there is also a concept of Chilul Hashem klape pnim as well, that that even among religious Jews there is a way for there to be chilul Hashem, and that's actually chilul or kiddush Hashem, and that seems to be actually a little bit what's going on here, is that what we're going to see in terms of potential chilul Hashem that Moshe commits is not something, you know, in terms of the Egyptians or power or the like, but the question is, how does he convey Hashem towards Bnei Israel? And the flip side is true as well, that one can make a Kiddush Hashem also in the sort of internal sense, in terms of how we portray Hashem to other Jews. So give an example of this, that when I was in yeshiva, so Shabbos Zachor, right before Purim, so Kabbalat Shabbat is a more extravagant davening, and there's a choir involved. A number of the yeshiva guys make up a little bit of a choir, and it's meant to sort of augment the davening, make it extra labedic. So later that night, there was a big tish, and one of my rabbeim came over and said, I was involved in the choir, and one of my rabbeim came over and said, Yashar Koach, it was a big Kiddush Hashem. So I said, thank you. Then a few seconds later, I said to him, wait, Rabbi, what made this a Kiddush Hashem? Normally we think of Kiddush Hashem as sort of what you broadcast to the public. So what was it? What's a Kiddush Hashem in this context? And he said that anything that makes people appreciate the yeshiva, makes people appreciate Torah and the like. So that's a Kiddush Hashem. So when one perhaps casts doubt on Hashem, or one brings people to appreciate Hashem, so that's Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem, even if it's, you know, people who are sort of your regular circle of people. It's not a public thing, it's an internal thing. And nonetheless, that could be Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem. So Chilul Hashem can be, as we said, like using Hashem's name inappropriately can constitute Chilul Hashem. But we're going to bring an example of Chilul Hashem in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu and casting down on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Amar Ben Azai said, Kiviyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo hizkir shmo. Hashem did not declare his or mention his name. Ashamar shteish tevod breshit bara v'charkach amar elokim. So Hashem sort of withheld and did not assert himself too much, but he waited breshit bara, and then only then does the Torah mention elokim. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Af Moshe lo hizkir Hashem. Moshe also did not mention Hashem's name. Again, I think this is to emphasize that we don't use Hashem's name lightly. We're not casual with it. So Moshe waited to use Hashem's name until 21 letters in. So in the Shirat Hazinu, Hazinu Shemai Vadabera, only Kishem Hashem Ekra, that's 21 letters in. So Moshe withheld using Hashem's name. Tedalcha Shalokila Oto Levot Ha'olam. And Hashem did not even fully reveal his name to the Avos. So then why did he reveal it to Moshe? Al-Shahalach Ligolos Yisrael. Because Moshe was going to redeem Bnei Yisrael. So that full revelation was something that was extremely necessary. Maktiv Lamala min ha'inyan v'yasha Moshe Hashem v'yamar. Hashem lama hariot alam hazem. So at the very end of Parsha Shmot, when the first time he and Aaron go to Paro, and Paro laughs at their face and says, I'm going to double their work. And Bnei Israel, the children, they really don't appreciate this. So Moshe goes back to Hashem and says, Hashem, why have you dealt badly with this people and with me? So Moshe challenges Hashem and accuses him of not only being of help, but of making things worse, of making things difficult. It's casting doubt in Hashem. So then Midrash goes on to say, Adam, if a person were to say to somebody who's greater than them or more important than them, why did you treat me so badly? So that's a very serious offense. That's a Dever Kasha. He would be guilty of a serious offense. But Moshe himself, Moshe said, Since I came to Paro to speak in your name, you have dealt doubtly with this people. So Moshe is being a little bit chutzpahdik with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, telling him that he's dealt badly with them. So it's interesting. I mean, nowadays, authority is a little bit less rigid, but we get this analogy that in theory, if you are dealing with someone who's superior to you, I guess this is perhaps most relevant in the workforce, but even perhaps if a person were to go up to Gadol HaTorah, Gadol BaTorah, and speak in this fashion, no matter what, if you speak in that fashion, that's a little bit chutzpahdik. But especially if that person has done good for you or promises to do good for you, and you're saying it's bad, so that's a little bit of a chutzpah. And Hashem has made it very clear to Moshe that He has a plan for Geula, for redemption, and Moshe is just harping on the negative and the very first that Moshe was resistant in the first place, and then the very first thing that goes wrong, Moshe is saying, "You have done terribly with me and with His people," and he's obviously not excelling in Emunah, but just talking that way is a little bit difficult. And perhaps I think again, Kama Kashachil Hashem. So if the people catch any wind of this notion that Moshe is speaking in this way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's going to make them doubt HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more. It's hard to put on the costume. So if Moshe's not into this, he's not enthusiastic and he doesn't believe, so he's not going to be able to convey that to the people. So that's a very big Chil Hashem. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chava Al Da'avdin V'lo Mishtachin. So Hashem says to Moshe, alas for those who have perished but are not to be found. Hashem appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with the name Kel Shaddai, as this is a couple of psukim later in our parsha. Right, if we look very quickly, it's the second pasuk parsha. He appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with the name Kel Shaddai, Lord Almighty. There's different ways of understanding what Kel Shaddai means, but he did not use the name Yudke Vavke with them, or meaning to say that he did reveal himself with the name Yudke Vavke, but the extent to which his power is manifest was not fully revealed until Moshe Rabbeinu comes along, until there is Geula. So when it comes to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so they only got really a partial revelation of Hashem. Below here, Haruach Amidotai, and yet they did not doubt me. They didn't criticize me. And they didn't think twice about what I was doing. So Amarti Lavram, I said to Avram, Kum hitalech ba'aretz la'arka. So Avram was told, you know, scout the land, walk throughout the land. And then when he was looking for a place to bury Sarah, he wasn't able to find. So he had to pay 400 shekel to bury Sarah, couldn't find appropriate land, even though Hashem had promised him the whole land. And yet he didn't come to me and say, you know, you promised me this land, why am I having such a hard time finding a burial place? Same idea that Hashem promises the land to Yitzchak. And then, there's a famine, there's a drought. Yitzchak can't find water to drink. They have this dispute over the wells. Maybe this isn't just a matter of the drought, but just in general, Yitzchak's having a hard time with the wells that Abraham had dug in, and the shepherds of Grar are causing him difficulty. And yet, below here, Hamidotai, and Yitzchak didn't say, you know, what's going on here? You promised me this, and you didn't give it to me. Right, but that's something we hear a lot these days, the need for instant gratification. If you don't get instant gratification, then, you know, somebody's wrong and somebody has to be accused and somebody has to be given the ultimatum and cancel it, whatever it is. But that's not the way Avram Yitzchak acted. It's not the way that Yaakov acted either. So, Amarti L'Yaakov, Ha'arta Sher Tashochev Alel L'chad Nena. The land that I've given you, you will... All right. So to Yaakov, always forget that the Wi-Fi in here is not always fantastic. So with Yaakov as well, Yaakov as well. No, the land that you dwell in, I will give to you and to your descendants. He couldn't find a place to pitch his tent to dwell. He had to purchase it with 100 lands. So he didn't question me. Hashem says to Moshe that your very first mission that I assigned to you, and you asked me, what's your name? And I told you, and now you're coming back and you're accusing me because I went to Paro and it didn't work and all these accusations are being flung at the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So last week's parsha, it says, now you shall see what I'll do to Paro. And the Midrash makes a diuk and it says, b'milchamet paro tira. You're going to see a war against Paro. But you're not going to see the war against 31 kings that's going to happen in Eretz Yisrael. So yeah, you'll be part of this mission in terms of fighting Paro, but you're not going to see the later mission, right? Only, it doesn't say this explicitly in the pasuk, but again, we have this this diuk, this close reading, that you'll only see this war against Paro, but not any other ones. So before we go any further, so there is an idea in the Gemara of Atachat Dvarim, that Chana and Eliyahu flung words against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they spoke harshly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their tefillos. And the Gemara doesn't seem to, it's unclear if the Gemara is necessarily chastising them for that, but definitely acknowledges that. And perhaps it's a positive thing. And Rav Kook and Enaya on that Gemara says that perhaps it depends on the context and the motive, that if a person is coming from a place of that they really have, you know, no other place to turn, and they're davening for something Hashem Shemayim, and they're going through a really, really hard time, and it's legitimate and the like. So then, you know, speaking curtly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at least it shows that there's a connection that serves a purpose and the like, and that they're being L'Shem Shemayim. That kind of chutzpah Kadosh Baruch Hu can handle. But if somebody's doing it for any sort of self-serving purpose, maybe not as well. With Moshe, it's not necessarily self-serving, but it shows a little bit of a lack of patience. Again, compared to the Avos, who were able to be patient and understood that there was a larger plan, Moshe Rabbeinu is not, you know, he's gotten the big revelation from Hashem that I'm bringing you to bring the Geula, and it's very clear what Hashem's plan is here. Maybe not exactly all the details and how it's going to happen, but the end goal is very clear, and Moshe is supposed to be part of it, and yet Moshe is not sort of taking it appropriately. And then a very fascinating statement here, Mikan Ad Lamed She Natan Moshe Et Adin, that Moshe was punished for this. Shaloli kanes la'aretz. At this point, he was punished by being forbidden from entering the land. So usually we associate this punishment of not entering Eretz Yisrael with Memeriva, with the sin of hitting the rock. Parshat Chukah. It's Parshat Chukah where the Torah explicitly says that Moshe wasn't going to enter the land. And yet, Midrash here, and Shpot Rabbah as well, said it's actually from here. It's from the way Hashem spoke to Moshe, Lama Hariota Lam Hazeh. The way Moshe spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his sort of disbelief and his cynicism already at the beginning, the very beginning of the journey, is what causes him not to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's why he uses the language Elohim, that Elohim spoke to Moshe, that Hashem was judging Moshe in a strict way. Again, this it's interesting because in the sin of hitting the rock, Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron that you fail to sanctify my name. They fail to make a Kiddush Hashem. And here also we have this idea that Kamakasha Chil Hashem. So in both cases, the And this of course, is a very private thing. Again, Klal Yisrael didn't necessarily receive this. And maybe that's why it doesn't come up till much later. Maybe Moshe had the opportunity to tshuva, it was early on, and the like. But clearly, by the end, there was still something missing in Moshe's ability to be Mekadesh Hashem. And obviously, there are plenty of places where he was Mekadesh Hashem. But it's interesting that question, that connection with Chil Hashem. But I wonder, you know, maybe it doesn't quite come up here because it was early on. Maybe there was a chance for tshuva. But already this seed is being planted over here that Moshe was not going to enter Eretz Yisrael, which is very fascinating. So the pasuk begins very Dibar Elokim, right? That the Midas Hadin is being used with Moshe, but when it comes to Bnei Yisrael, it's Ani Hashem. That there is a Midas Harachamim, Agalas Yisrael Avachnisim La'aretz. That it's with the Midas Harachamim that I'm going to enter everyone into Eretz Yisrael. So that's this Midrash. Again, a very rocky relationship, not just at the burning bush, but also at the very beginning of Moshe's trying to redeem Israel. There's this very rocky relationship that they have that they obviously overcome, but Moshe needs to receive a little bit of Moser and needs to be reminded of the proper way to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the implications of how he speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And only when he fully internalizes that emunah is anything going to be able to happen. Okay, so just have a few minutes left. So I wanted to look at Midrashim Zayin and Chet, which are connected. So I'll start, and then I'll summarize a little bit what goes on in Zayin, and then we'll go a little bit into Chet. So in Siman Zayin, so it says, "Vayomer Elokim Moshe Re'ein Et Adicha Elokim LeParo." See, I have set you, and here it translates it as in God's stead to Paro. Let's see if quickly pull up a different translation. Right, see, I place you in the role of God to Paro. But it doesn't necessarily mean that Moshe is playing the role of God per se, but that he's a master over Paro is another way of translating it. So we have this pasuk that's very famous. We say it every time we put away the Torah on Monday and Thursday. And Shabbos afternoon, so there's this idea of being Melech HaKavod, and it goes into this whole discussion that when Shlomo was trying to bring the Aron to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kodesh Kodashim, so the Aron was Eser Amot, but the entrance was Eser Amot, and Moshe and Shlomo was having a hard time getting it in. So then he went to get the Aron of David, his father, the Aron that David used. And Shlomo daven for it to work. And then Shlomo began to say, and the Melech HaKavod should come in. So at that point, the gates were going crazy. They wanted to rush in and wanted to crush Shlomo because they thought that maybe it was saying Shlomo's a Melech HaKavod, that Shlomo is the honored, glorious king. Who's a Melech HaKavod? Who's Melech HaKavod? And then Shlomo says, Hashem Tzvakot, who Melech HaKavod tell? No, it's Hashem Tzvakot who is the Melech. Right? This is all the this is a progression of the Psukim. And once he said that Hashem is Melech HaKavod, so then they were appeased and Shlomo was able to bring in the Aron. So then the part that I want to get to is Davar Acher. This is, again, the next Midrash, but it's obviously connected. Mi who's a Melech HaKavod? Who is Melech HaKavod? This is Melech Malchei HaMalchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shehu Chole Kavod LiRe'ev. Hashem is the great honorable king, the king of glory, because he gives of his honor to those who fear him. And that's why he's called Melech HaKavod. So how does this work? So Ketzad. So when it comes to a king of flesh and blood, you're not allowed to sit in his chair. But Shlomo was allowed to sit in the chair of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shlomo sat in the king of Hashem. You can't ride on the horse of king of flesh and blood. But Eliyahu was able to ride on the horse, on the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, that's when he goes up into Shemaim, he was in Hashem's sus, so to speak. You can't use a scepter of a regular king's scepter. But Hashem gave his shavit to Moshe. He gave a scepter to Moshe. Moshe held the scepter of Hashem. The last week's parsha. Then, same thing also. You can't wear the crown of a king. Of course, you would never dare to wear the crown of a king, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give that his crown to Melech HaMashiach. And similar, Melech Basar Vadam in Lov Shin Levusho, you can't wear the garments of a human king. Yisrael Lov Shin Levusho Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in Yisrael, you can wear the garments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma'u Levusho, what is Hashem's Levush? What is his garment? Oz Shenemar, Lavesh Hashem Oz Hitazar, that Hashem's garment is majesty, strength, and he gave that to Klal Yisrael. Shenemar Hashem Oz La'amo Yiten. Hashem gave, so if it's Lavesh Hashem Oz Hitazar, he gave that Oz, that majesty to Am Yisrael. Hashem Oz La'amo Yiten. Gave that majesty, that strength, and the like. Melech Basar Adam Eini Karem Bishmo Kesar Agusta. No person would dare call himself by the name of the Caesar. And if you were to do that, you would get the death penalty. Kadosh Baruch Hu kara shmo l'Moshe, but Kadosh Baruch Hu gave his name to Moshe. Shenemar ra'enu taticha Elokim l'paro. I have made you a master over Paro. Again, some people translate it as being in God's stead. There are places in Torah, for example, Parshat Mishpatim, it uses the word Elohim to describe a judge, a dayan, but those connections with authority and with divinity, even there might be made. But nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to call Moshe an Elohim. Hevei Hashem Tzvako Hu Melech HaKavod. So that's what makes Hashem the King of Glory, King, an honorable King. Shulchol Leik B'Kvodo Le'Rav. That he gives of his honor to those who fear him. I think the lesson here is obvious. There's a statement that in the Gemara that that every place, kol makom she'ata motzei gedulato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ata motzei invatanuto. So in the Gemara Megillah, it talks about Hashem's might, that where you see Hashem's might, that's where you find his humility. But it's also evolved into say that wherever you find Hashem's greatness, that's where you find his humility. In other words, that Hashem's greatness is manifest in his humility. For human beings, often our greatness has to be manifest in our ability to be great and to be powerful and to be above others and to have power over others. When it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have that kind of ego. So for Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't feel like he's smaller when he gives to other people, but Kadosh Baruch Hu feels that he's greater. Obviously, it's not indiscriminate, but when Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to make room for others, that's a greatness of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's an important lesson for us, that sometimes we think that for us to be great, that we have to have a certain ego, and we have to have a certain kind of gravitas and the like. But the true way to be great, the true way to be great is to not assert ourselves above others, to make ourselves above others, but to make room for others to take a step back, to constrict our role, to appreciate the talents and gifts of others, and to make room for others in our lives. I think that's certainly something that we can take away, that imitatio Dei means that that we don't just imitate Hashem's kindness, but we also try to imitate his humility as well. Thanks everyone for joining. Have a wonderful week, and see you on Shabbos.